A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. So welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks to Dwight for the early morning scoop. And it's 35 minutes past the hour of seven. Hopefully you'll wake up well and able, so that you can contribute to the well-being and the well-being of this country. So thanks for joining us. This is Eagle FM, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So just quickly hold on.
Omutiha would take a kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longishifa, ya, she became Moshiwana, e Moyao, or Tango got his amen. Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangica. Say Sanina, Omakuro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Go to end the team, Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimwe. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with...
All right, welcome back. Thanks for just holding on. So there were some disturbing sounds coming through. So, right, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And as I said, I hope that's a beautiful morning for you. And for us here in Ondangwa, it's quite super, super, super beautiful, super morning. All right, my name is Mike Oshavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and number making the headlines. So we keep it clean, we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning and welcome. And thanks for choosing us, and thanks for making Eagle FM your choice and being with us this morning. So, yeah, and as always said, we love to do that. We love to be in your company. So, all right. So today is the 23rd of July. Let's get to our segment of On This Day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So on the 23rd July 1952, the Free Officers Movement, led by Mohamed Naguib and Gamal Abdel Nasser, overthrew King Farouk, ending Egypt's monarchy and paving the way for the Egyptian Republic. So this date is celebrated annually as a revolutionary day in Egypt. So the emperor Haile Selassie was crowned on 23rd July 1930, making the formal beginning of his nearly 44 years reign over Ethiopia. This was a pivotal figure. He was a pivotal figure in Ethiopian modernization and the Pan-African movement. So his birthday later became actually Ethiopia's national flag day, celebrated as a national flag day. So, and the first Pan-African conference officially began on the 23rd of July, 1900, in London, organized by Henry Sylvester Williams. It gathered delegates of African descent to issue a bold appeal to European powers, demanding self-government and equal rights. So, and on Andreas Pretorius, a key Voortrekker leaders after whom Pretoria, the Pretoria town, is named, died on 23rd July 1853 in the Mangalisberg region of the former South African Republic. So he played a central role in early Boer settlement and the creation of the Transvaal state. So those are some of the significant historical events that happened on this day in our beautiful Africa. So, and today's thought of the day, what is our thought of the day today? So whoever understands everything forgives everything. Whoever understands everything forgives everything. So when you fully comprehend the best, the backstory, the pain, the struggles, or the motivation behind someone's behavior. So anger fades, replaced by empathy. So the deeper insight is that no one is born inherently evil. Actions often stem from wounds, conditioning, or difficult circumstances, not malice. So the person, the broader awareness actually dissolves blame. So whoever understands everything forgives everything. So that's our thought of today. That's our thought for the day. Probably seek to understand. When you understand, you are able to forgives. All right. So welcome. Our time is about 43 minutes past the hour of seven. So what do we really expect to, what do we expect today on the program? So we will look at, Botswana also launched something they called Economic Reform Plan to ease diamond dependency. So it's more or less the same program like NDP6 that we have launched Monday. So there is something that actually maybe we can learn from Botswana's economic reform plan and compare that to some aspect, compared to some aspect in terms of our NDP6. So we're going to look at that. So we also going to, we also have, around 8:30, we have a conversation with the Ministry of Health. So we're going to, we also going to have that on the programs. And also, I have also a guest, that I will be speaking to. This is from, GIPF. So make sure that you tune for that. And this is about the government pension backed home loan scheme, the home loan schemes. So we're looking at it Is it a lifeline or is it actually a financial gamble? So make sure that you tune in for, if you're a government, if you're a government employees, if you are a public servant, please make sure that you tune in, a civic servant. So make sure that you tune in for those information, because this is something that was people have asked here in terms of that. So we have someone from GIPF to discuss that. So, and if we have time, you know, we can also look at the, and that's coming at 9 o'clock. Okay. That's coming at 9 o'clock. That would be maybe the last piece we have, or the last segment we have on the program, this morning. So there are a couple of, it's fully packed. There are a couple of things that are coming up. Make sure that at 8:30 we have a conversation with the Minister of Health, and at 9 o'clock we also have this interview with someone from GIPF on this topic. So make sure that you stay tuned, and so stay tuned. We will definitely be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you, and welcome back. And this is you, if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the day. So it's a beautiful day in Ondangwa, and hopefully across our beautiful country, from the coast to the capital, and from the beautiful Zambezi to Kunene. So I hope it's a very, very beautiful day for you, wherever you find yourself. Now, well, just I want you to grab your coffee or your tea, and let's get started. So I was reading a story from our neighbors in Botswana, and it felt like I was looking in a mirror. So on June 15, their president, Duma Boko, launched a big new plan, just as we launched the NDP. So the NDP 6. So they are calling it the Botswana Economic Transformation Program, the BETP. The BETP. And the reason they are doing it, it is a story we know all too well, right? So Botswana's economy runs on diamonds. Simple as that. The World Bank says diamonds make up 90% of their exports. So 90% Okay? Imagine if nearly everything you sold to the world was just one thing. And for Botswana, it's diamond. So, well, that one thing that they sell to the world is in trouble. So last year, their diamond money dropped by half. It's like a 50% pay cut for the entire country. So almost overnight. So as a result, their economic growth has slowed right down. So, and maybe the most painful number of all, their unemployment rate is sitting at 27.6%. That's more than one, given the population of that country. So it's more than one in every four people without a job. So their new plan, the BETP, is an emergency response. So it's an emergency response. It's a plan to break free from this diamond dependency. So they want to build their services industry, become a financial hub for the region, and use their political stability to attract new money and new investment. Now, sounds right? So it sounds logical. So now, let's bring that at home. Let's bring that at home. Does any of this sounds familiar? So we just launched our big plan, the 6th National Development Plan. Okay? So the NDP 6. So we have our own dreams for the future. And just like Botswana, we are waking up to this harsh reality. So, I mean, we might not be at 90% like Botswana, but we are also lean heavily on minerals. We also lean heavily on minerals. We also depend heavily on minerals. Diamond, uranium, lithium, you know the story. So, our economy rises and falls with global commodity price. So when the world wants our stones and our minerals, times are good. So, and when they don't, things get worse. Things get tough. So in our employment, unemployment, and let's be honest with each other. So Botswana 27.6 is higher, but ours, according to last official survey, was even more higher than Botswana. So especially for our youth, the numbers are really heartbreaking. So we face the same struggle, inequality that divides our communities, and drought made worse by climate change that threatened our farmers and our food security. So here we are, two neighbors, two nations blessed with natural resources, but also cursed by a dangerous dependency on those natural resources. Now, both launching ambitious new plans at more or less the same time. So now, the goals are almost identical. So diversifying, create jobs, attract investment, and build sustainable future. So the goals are almost identical. But here is where the story gets really interesting. And it's not about the what. It's about the how. So our NDP 6 talks about incredible ideas. Green hydrogen, the blue economies, digital transformations. So these are exciting, forward-looking goals. So we have a vision. Now, but let's look at what Botswana is doing to make their plan actually happen. So they have included two very specific tools in their plan. two specific tools. Okay? First, they are creating economic transformation labs. So think of this as a, think of it as an emergency room for investment. So it's a place designed to take a good idea, place designed to take a good idea, potential project, and cut through all the government red tape and bureaucracy. So when you cut through that, so then it kills, you know, when you have all this, you know, that kills the project before it even started. So it's about speed, it's about action. So these economic transformation labs. And then second, that they are launching a presidential dashboard. So a presidential dashboard, this is a public tool to track progress. Okay? It will monitor every ministry, every department to see if they are actually doing the work they promised to. So it's about accountability, and you can't hide from a dashboard that shows you are failing. You know, the dashboard that shows, you know, that actually you can't hide. So this is where we need to pause and think. So we are brilliant at writing plans in Namibia. Eh? So we are brilliant. NDP 1, NDP 2, 3, 4, 5, and now 6. They are filled with wonderful ideas, noble intentions. We have some of the best written plans on the continent. So we do. So, but what is our track record on implementations? What is our track record? So how many of those brilliant ideas from NDP 5? And I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me now. So how many of those brilliant ideas from NDP 5 are a reality today? Okay? So later on, come through and talk and tell me that we have this idea. So this was the brilliant idea that we are, and today is a reality. So pull out one brilliant ideas from the NDP 5, which is a reality today. Please, I want you to do that. So how many business were started because we made it easier? Eh? How many jobs were created because we cut the red tape we promised, you know, to cut? So we talk a good game. So, but the gap between the plan on paper, the gap between the plan on paper and the reality on the street, so it's where our dreams go to die, really. Normally, that's where our dreams go to die. So, now, Botswana seem to understand this. They know a plan is just a piece of paper without an engine to drive it. So their labs are the engines. Their dashboard is the GPS, telling everyone if we are on the right road or lost in the bush. Well, this is not it's not about saying Botswana is better than us. So far from it. It's not actually that. So this is about learning from our neighbor. It's about looking at the how, looking at their how, and asking ourselves so hard questions, you know? Some hard questions. So, as we begin our journey with NDP 6, with all its promises of new dawn, what are our labs? What are our labs? Where is our public dashboard? Who is holding our feet to the fire to make sure this plan, it doesn't just end up on the shelf, gathering dust like ones before it, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So That's the question. So those are the aspects that I wanted us to really look. And we would end this after this quickly.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So, good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Eagle FM, and we're live from Ondangwe Studio, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So we're looking at an example from Botswana, where they have labs and dashboard. Labs as, you know, as their engine that makes things really, you know, happen, and dashboard as their GPS, you know, telling them how, if, are they on the road? Are they on the right road? And as I said, or are they lost somewhere in the bush? So I think that's an example that we can look at. And as I said, as we begin our journey now with NDP6, with all its promises of new dawn, what is really our labs, you know, and what is our public a dashboard? So those are the questions. So now, are we building? So maybe let me leave on this topic, let me leave you with this question. Maybe a question that you can think about today. So are we building another beautiful dream? Or are we finally building the machine to make it real? So let me hear you. So on this item, what is your take? Our telephone number is 08-3366-091, 08-3366-091. So you're welcome to come through and probably, what do you think on this aspect? What I'm looking at is that, you know, we have the NDP, and when you go into that, there are strategies. But the aspect of monitoring, it's very, 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 I think, very weak. And it still requires, let's look at, when you talk about the aspect of monitoring, and this is very important. This is a good example. I can give you an example of what is happening now. We have the, example of the, you know, the parliamentary committee that is responsible for public account, and it's looking at the auditor report that for the regional councils and town councils and things like that. We see how regional councils and how they, you know, how they mismanage resources and funds, and how funds are not traced, cannot be traced, are not recorded, you know, are not accounted for. So those kind of things, it's because there is a lack of public dashboard, for example, so that can be able to trace, to see whether you are actually on the right track or not, you know, and that's mean, you know, keeping, knowing how to do your bookkeeping. So these are the things. How do we then, so some of these are the, you know, the monitoring aspect to making sure so that we don't end up, you know, having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 national developing plan, and we don't even know why did we fail from the first one, or have we failed, or have we achieved? So as I said at the beginning, give me one thing that is an NDP 5 that has a reality today. When you look at all the things, employment, you know, when you look at where we want it to be, have we actually moved forward or have we actually retrogressed? Have we actually moved backward? So, yeah, that's a challenge for you today. Give me one, just an example of something that we have in NDP5. And how many of us actually, and how many of us actually knows what is actually in NDP5? So what were the goals? What were the visions? So what are the, and what were the strategies? Yeah. The other things maybe, and this is not a critique. It's also for us to know when we are actually progressing. It's like, and this is something I always said, you know, politicians are very, very clever in the way how they even actually record when they report progress. So there's one thing that they, I don't know whether they deliberately leave out. So they recite, well, the things that has been done. So, for example, now we built how many clinics? Let's say, for example, we built 3 clinics or something like that in this quarter or in that. But they don't tell us what was the target. So how many clinics we were supposed to build in that period? So when you recite all these things, we have no idea really that, you know, and they may sound, and this is where the trick is, it may sound like, ooh, we really have done a lot. So how do we know? Give us what was the target? So we needed to repair, you know, maybe we needed to repair rural roads, how many roads that we needed to develop in this and this. This is where now in that quarter, this is what we needed to, or in that month, whatever the case may be. So whatever the period, whatever the reporting period, we needed actually to, this is how many roads that we needed actually to develop or improved or whatever. So, and we only have done that. And then we can be able to judge that. Yes, we actually have made a progress. So now reciting, and this, the reasons why I bring this up, is to show how we can actually be able to, you know, monitor not only the government, but also the public itself. So, and also looking at what are the bottleneck and how they actually trying to avoid those bottleneck by creating these two specific tool in their plan, the economic transformation labs, you know, which is actually cutting through all the government red tapes and bureaucracy. So, and also then the presidential dashboard. So that track the progress. Monitor every ministry, every department to see if they are actually doing the work they promised to do. So that is the how that I'm talking about. So, yeah, what do you think? So what do you think? So, right? Our telephone number, 083-3666, if you want to have your say, 083-3666-091. So do come through and have your say.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So very good morning to you and welcome back. And our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. So today, As I said earlier on, around 8:30, we will have a conversation with the Ministry of Health, and also around 9 o'clock, we will have an interview with someone from the GIPF in connection with the home loan schemes that are backed by the government. So we will look at that. So don't miss that. So yeah. So the other thing, very interesting. So you know when you see those huge construction projects, a new highway, a big power plant, a new port, terminals, so often they are funded by big international players like the World Bank. So we see foreign companies win contract to build them. Now, here's an interesting news, really worth paying attention to. So the World Bank has actually announced a new rule, a big one. Okay? That rule, starting somewhere in September, later this year, so any company that get a contract for these massive projects must spend at least 30% of their money for workers on local people. You know, 30% of their money for workers, for the workers, must spend it on local people, on local workers. So on Namibians, for example, if it's in Namibia. So on the surface, this sounds fantastic, you know? It's really, and it's fantastic. It's a start. But this is unpacking the day. So let's unpack it and see, is this a really a good idea or is it really a fantastic initiative? So let's see. Now, the idea is simple. It's really simple. The World Bank say this is actually to create jobs right here, like, for example, Namibia, to create job right here at home, to build skills and to make sure that when big money comes into Namibia for a project, some of that stays in Namibia's pocket. So exactly the same thing what the government is actually trying to do. So when, you know, big companies coming here, so this is about, you know, beneficiation, value additions, and, you know, local content, all that. So now the World Bank, you know, is saying, well, you know, when now this contractors with this company get now this contract, so for this massive project in this country, in our country, mostly in African countries, must spend at least 30% of their money for workers on the local people. So that's the thing. So they point to a huge problem, especially in Africa. So the problems of youth unemployment, and the article says nearly 23% of young people in Africa are not in school, not in training, and not working. So let's get to the caller and see what he has to say.
A very good morning to you.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
Good. You got the mic?
Yes. How are you, man?
Good.
Yeah.
I did not listen to that much. What is the discussion for today? What are you unpacking today?
In the morning, we have early morning scoop. You are not listening to that. So, okay, the first item that we looked at was that I was actually comparing the NDP6 to Botswana's, what do they call it? To Botswana's economic, what is the word? Let me just quickly, if I can find it somewhere. So economic reform plan. Yeah. So it also was launched actually in June. What I was actually looking at is that the Botswana have two specific tools that they included into their plan, which is actually the economic transformation lab, which is actually like, it's like an emergency room for investment. So, so that, you know, people don't, you know, you don't go through the government red tape and bureaucracy, and bureaucracy, you know?
Yes.
And then they also have the presidential dashboard. So, and this is a public tool to track actually progress. And monitor now every ministry, every department, and see if they are actually doing the work they promised to do. Yeah. So as I said, yes, we have, this is maybe something that we can actually learn, in terms as we launch also NDP. Yeah. And I ask that because tell me that like NDP5, can we be able to tell have we achieved what we wanted to achieve? If we haven't achieved it, what was the challenges? Nobody talk about it. We just go to NB6. There are no monitoring system to help us. And having a presidential dashboard would actually help even the public to know that this department is actually failing. Yeah.
Yep. No, you are right. No, thanks for that insight.
Yeah.
You see... 100% what you have said that, no, I think we don't have the monitoring and evaluation system when we are talking about NDPs.
Yeah.
Because I think some of the stuff what were in NDP1, they might be found in NDP6.
Exactly.
And we're not asking ourselves, how could you come so long with your from NDP1, some items up to NDP6? Was it the planning that was not done properly? That maybe people took the stuff that was, you know, the dependence of the other item that needs to be. So then they brought the other stuff that was supposed to be in NDP1, NDP6, but they brought it to NDP1. Is it that problem or what? If we do monitoring and evaluation,
yeah,
I think we will, because it's not about who are we impressing is the question we have to ask there. The question is, if you come up with NDP or these programs or projects, who is the beneficiary?
Yeah.
And is the beneficiary realizing that, yes, this thing was meant for me and I'm benefiting?
Yeah.
Yes. Because when we say beneficiation or beneficiary, we should make sure, are the beneficiaries getting what they were supposed to get?
Yeah.
You know?
So one thing realistically now, because some of us, you know, most of us are just ordinary Namibians who want, you know, service delivery. And the president actually emphasized on that, even with the public servants. But the thing is, you know, since then, realistically look at, when you look at all these development plans for the country, are we getting better? Are we improving the condition, living standards of our people, or is actually getting worse?
Yep.
You don't need now, sometimes you don't need, what is that, you know, those datas that we bring up here, you know, this percentage and whatever. You just sit on the street. You sit at home.
Eh? Yes. You know, I think that's why, I think the good thing about maybe this current government is, I think they are traveling also to see those things for themselves. Like, if you look at Nakateo, eh? Remember, I said it before, yeah, and time and again, that if you go to Nakateo, it's not that Nakateo was not supposed to. Somebody was blocking. And remember, we debated this with a lot of colleagues on this platform. Many a times we said, look, somebody must have, maybe there's a plan or a program to support the agriculture, yeah, in this country. Because at Nakateo, the equipment, the sprinklers and everything, it was bought. I think you can go there.
Yeah.
They are still standing there. Maybe the current government, if they went there, and then they are realizing. Because those things, what are the way you normally connect your sprinklers, eh? The point where you connect your water, whatever.
Mm.
They are all built there in that route. The land is good.
Yeah.
But the things are, we're still in plastic. I think they have been there for more than 3, 4, 5 years.
Mm.
See? It's not because people didn't know. So the point is, the way you are saying, if monitoring and evaluation. And then the other thing is, sometimes we say things, but then people come and say, no, but where do we get the money from?
Yeah, which is still a good question. Yeah.
And that's my concern. And if we are planning and we are not, we don't plan the program, where do we get the money? Because we're not going to get the money from Bank of Namibia,
yeah,
or Development Bank. What should we do? What should the government come up with?
Mm.
For me, this is my proposal. Yeah? The country and the sovereignty of Namibia belongs to the citizens.
Yeah.
So how do you protect your sovereignty? So look, we have got banks. We should also, I think the government can, Minister of Finance and the Bank of Namibia, because they are the ones, they should come up in Parliament, must pass a law to allow the government to have on its own bank, which is like NAMPOST or POSFIN, whatever this one.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to go and introduce, because NAMPOST can be used, we can introduce as a bank.
Yeah.
So what we should do is, if NAMPOST is a bank, then we also start depositing with NAMPOST. We're not saying close these other banks. No, we're not trying to do competition with them. Well, what we are saying, we open our banks. Maybe our rates, also our deposits will be cheaper. So any person will decide which one they want to go to.
Yeah.
Yes. You get my point?
Mm.
So it's the bank, because it's our country. These banks are from other countries. Simply means those governments of those countries, they have got hands in these banks. Netherlands Bank, Standard Bank, which is British, Bank FNB British, or those governments. So we need to have our own bank also. That one, it might help us. Because if Standard Bank makes a profit of 2 billion,
yeah,
and that does, because of these deposits that are coming from us, and they're not investing back into, they are not plowing back. They have got FNB Stadium in South Africa, not here. Our players are going to South Africa. So let's have our own bank, which is NAMPOST, and then we decide who banks with where. You get what I mean? And the incentives should be introduced. Yeah. So that's it.
But is there, do you know any example of a country that have the bank that you're suggesting and have done better or have done, you
no,
know?
No, I think all the countries, to be honest with you, they have got their own banks, but they might not even in their country. But because they are now, because remember, we cannot introduce a bank in Zambia we have got this bank window, which is not government. They have got they have it in Botswana, they have it in, Malawi.
But what is the central bank? What's the point of the central bank then, Bank of Namibia?
No, it's to regulate most.
Yeah, no, but what you can, but with the what you want, what you're proposing, they could also be able to do that, isn't it?
Yes, even Development Bank, because you see what our banks, what they have done with the Development Bank.
Yeah.
Development Bank doesn't make money. Either Agribank, they don't make money. They distribute money.
Yeah.
Is it? They don't make money because for the bank to flourish, you need to, it's a daily activity.
Mm.
So these ones, they wait for the farmers maybe to pay back after some time, or the loan person who got the loan to be paying back. But on a daily basis, I think it's easier. I don't know the other kind, but what I know of, or what I know is Standard Bank, FNB or Absa or whatever, you see, they are banks from other countries, and those governments of those countries have got hands in.
Yeah.
The same thing we are talking about Huawei or ZTE, this mobile.
Yeah.
So the Chinese government have got hands, but if we have to introduce, we have to do that. Like also, like if you look at the Choppies, there's a possibility that the government of Botswana have got a hand in that Choppies.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
So we might not have the opportunity to introduce another bank in another country, but we can do it in our own country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So that will make it, that, so that then we have got a method and a method where to get money. So if we say, well, where are we going to get the money? We say, okay, we have got our own bank. It will be able to fund this and that and that. And the other proposal which I've made through is social responsibility is common. It must be happening to everywhere. And that money must be collected by the government. You get what I mean?
Hmm.
Then the government must be the distributor of why they want to advance which program or project. Like in this case of sports field, who should fund those sports field?
Yeah.
The social responsibility money must fund it. Because there's no one who will tell you that, no, me, when I registered my company, I'm excluded from social responsibility. I doubt very much.
But there should be a policy that enforced that. That's also the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Parliament must come up with a policy that says, if it's 5%, whatever they have agreed, if it's 5%, it shouldn't be voluntarily. Voluntarily things don't work.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not willing buyer, willing seller. You see? It's something which is there in business that you are going, because the people who you are doing business in their community, you should make sure you plow back, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a common understanding for all as human beings. If I come to your house, you will shelter me, you know. At least one day I have to say, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But I just don't say thank you. I'll come up with something. Oh, my brother, you know, I had this, you know, airport which I was supposed to, but I think maybe we can share this airport. You get my point?
Yeah.
Then we share. That's the way of saying thank you. So for this thing of saying thank you, which is with social responsibility, the parliament, and they should not take long. They should just go there as soon as possible. Then we will see where we can get the money.
Mm.
And the other thing for funding the state hospital. Universal healthcare, which I love so much. And I think we have to start now.
Yeah.
You see, we can maybe leave private companies out.
Mm.
But parastatals and government institutions, it must be priority.
Yeah.
It must be a requirement. It's not a no-go area. Government institutions and parastatals, they should not be negotiating, talking about private medical aid. Companies must, because there's a contribution from the company and from the government, also from the company to the medical aid to the member. So that portion which the government, which the company pays to the member,
should
be now directed to the renovate and all those things of improving the healthcare system for all. Because regardless of whatever, when my benefits are depleted, I'll continue paying my medical aid, yet I'm not using it.
Yeah.
And I'll pretend to state whether I like it or not. That's not negotiable. So that's what I'm saying. Certain things we should not negotiate. Certain things must just happen.
Mm.
Because regardless of whatever, that Mike, if your benefit with your highest medical aid, super, what they call, whatever they call it, whether it's the top of the range, if your benefit depletes, with your same medical aid, chief, me and you will end up in Gatutura Hospital, like it or not, until when your new benefits have been reinstated.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then those who want to do private medical care, no one will stop them. Use your money.
Yeah.
Yes. That's all, what we need to do.
Yeah.
The law and the policy must be so strictly, I think, if parliamentarians are listening and they should support the government, then that's how we should support government.
Yeah.
It's us, because the president says we entrust, we vote the government into power.
Mm.
And they also want our ideas. It's not always to criticize, no, the government is not doing this, the government is not. No, we should give ideas. What is it that we can do? What is it that the government must do to get the money? That is not going to be, you know, people like legal things. But in terms of the things I've proposed, one, there's no legal issues because this money is government.
It's clear. The point is clear. We will have something coming up on our country now at 5:30. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for coming through.
All the best.
Okay. Great.
All right. Definitely. We're talking about the monitoring aspect of our a national project and national goals, you know. Let's stay tuned. We will see. As I said earlier, as I promised that at 8:30 we will have actually a conversation from the Minister of Health. Just hold on. We will get into that very soon.
Omo dia utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafa sana na na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengira selma, konara hita tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price.
Now I'm joined in studio by Nicholas Shapumba, who is the Senior Health Program Officer at the Ministry of Health and Social Services, as well as by Moza Suleiman Youssef, who is the Senior Quality Control at ITEC Namibia. They are here to make us understand about cervical cancer, its background, its burden, and interventions. Mr. Shapumba, pleasure to have you. Welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Great to have you too. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Moza, thank you so much for making time.
Thank you too.
Okay. Now, of course, we're talking about cervical cancer in Namibia. Kindly tell us, what is the burden of cervical cancer in Namibia compared to globally?
If I may start, this is true. Let me first appreciate this platform for us to engage with the nation and as far as cervical cancer is concerned. Yeah, the cervical cancer, it's a problem in Namibia, perhaps more than other part of the world, because of our population. If you have a lot of cases compared to the population, of course, it will be So what as far as the situation is concerned in Namibia, per year, we are diagnosing about 350 new cases, per year.
In Namibia.
In Namibia. And this is a lot compared to our population, like I indicated. And out of that number, so we are talking about close to 203 deaths that we are reporting from cervical cancer.
203 deaths.
Yes. So that's a lot of deaths due to cancer, especially given the fact that cancer is a preventable disease, especially cervical cancer.
Mm.
So it's a lot of cases. And when it comes to now cases per 100,000, also Namibia top sopping up. So we are talking about 33 cases per 100,000. So, and now if you look at in the rest of Africa, we are talking about 17.9 per 100,000.
Mm.
So we are higher than that.
Yeah.
And the world, it's 14 cases per 100,000. So sure. We are more
almost
than,
double.
Yes.
More than double.
Yeah. So it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third thing is cervical cancer is preventable.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ms. Musa, I do get that cancer or cervical cancer is the fourth most common cancer in women. Now, why is it that young women, especially uneducated women in poorer countries, are more disproportionately affected? What does it affect them more?
Okay. Oh, thank you. There are various factors actually that are interplay among. Among this is having lack of awareness or access barriers. Uneducated or poor women in this country have low access to health facility and some social cultural vulnerability. So when we talk on the education and awareness, the lower level of education itself, it already translates that women have less awareness of the need of the cervical cancer and prevention through vaccination and the screening methods that are available in the various health facilities as preventive measures.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the social cultural vulnerability, this is like women who are starting having sexual activity early, like involving themselves on the earlier sexual debut or higher fertility and limited autonomy in making decision of their own health.
Mm-hmm.
So this put them at risk to contract the virus that is causing cervical cancer. And when we talk about access barriers, they have limited healthcare infrastructure in these countries and the fewer screening facilities and vaccination and also financial obstacle. These are all factors that can put them at risk and at the end they will have a burden of having more at risk of getting cervical cancer.
Mm. Now, I do understand that the Ministry of Health and Social Services is rolling out the human papilloma vaccine for children from the age of 15, I get? Or is it lower than that?
It's from the age of 9 to 14.
From 9 to 14.
Yeah, from 9
okay.
to 14.
Why is that very important and what is the relationship between human papillomavirus and cervical cancer?
Okay, so cervical cancer itself, it's mainly caused by the human papillomavirus that we are going to talk about, the vaccine. So this virus, it caused some changes in the cervix because when we talk about cervical cancer, we say it's a cancer that developed at the cervix there.
Mm-hmm.
So the human papillomavirus, when you get infected, it will take time and then this virus will cause some infection and it cause some changes on the cervix, which is then become a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So having the vaccine for preventing this is like a prophylaxis vaccine that we give. And then after you get the vaccine, you develop immunity. So the moment that you get contracted with the HPV virus, you already develop immunity in your body, and then you have chance to be protected, like you have a protection already after the vaccination. Okay. So that's why it's very important. And this vaccine, it's more effective at the young age, between that age of 9 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. However, it can be given to the elder age, but it's more effective at that age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because we want to protect our girls earlier before they started their sexual activity, or even if they have already started, but then they are not exposed more compared to the elder one. So it's more effective during this age.
Okay. Now, a lot of parents are very skeptical about that vaccine. What are some of the myths that are perhaps going around that you would want to address in order to break that barrier? And what is it that they should be on the lookout? Does it also have some side effects that they should expect?
Okay, yeah, the myth is always there, and it has been there, and that's why we are here to give them information. So the main myth of this vaccine, they believe that it can cause infertility. Like after we give this to the young girls, they will not be able to get children, which is not true. The vaccine, it's safe. And it, with the side effect, they are also worried about having side effect. All the medicine have side effect, not only HPV vaccine itself. And the side effects, they are very mild and rare to happen.
Okay.
Like pain at the injection site or swelling. This is the common and mild side effect that they can be tolerated. And in case there is any major side effect, which is rarely to happen, and it hasn't been recorded, the healthcare provider will be able to take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Shapumba, you did talk about cervical cancer is preventable. Kindly get into those details, how exactly it is preventable, and as well also talk to us about the significance of the types of human papilloma virus types.
Yes. It is preventable, preventable by the vaccine.
Okay.
That's the strongest weapon that you have to prevent it. So, but then, like Smoza has indicated, you have to give it early.
Mm-hmm.
Early to that age. That's why we, as a ministry, are targeting that age group while early. Number one is because they are not yet sexually active, so that they are exposed to the HPV virus.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the vaccine is effective when administered to a young person compared to the older person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the types of virus that we have circulating, we have what we call type 16, then type 18. Those HPV virus, are responsible for 70% of cervical cancer.
Mm.
So, and this is the type that we are heavily circulating.
Mm.
Yeah. We also have some other types, 6 and 11, that are also causing other type of cancer, like the cancer of the penis, cancer of the vulva, cancer of the vagina, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So those ones are also in circulation. But the dangerous one that is causing cervical cancer is the type
16 and 18.
Okay. And those are the ones that we are targeting with our vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
But also the other one, because our vaccine that we have procured as a ministry is targeting all those four types of
virus.
HPV virus.
Okay. Yes. Now, Mr. Mosa, in terms of human papilloma virus, what exactly is HPV and what are the symptoms? What if, for instance, somebody already has the symptoms of HPV? Do they still get the vaccine, and what's the way forward?
Okay, so when we talk about HPV, it's a human papilloma virus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about human, it's us, human being.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a virus that it can be contracted through skin-to-skin contact and mainly through sexual
intercourse.
So when we talk about human papilloma virus, if somebody already contracted it at the early stage, since the we believe that young girls, they are still have no infection, because mm-hmm. for the human papilloma virus itself to develop to cancer, it has to go through stages mm-hmm. of pre-cancer. It mm-hmm. can take up to 10 years. So, if it's already like a woman, let's say here, maybe we can come in a question that we are targeting the girls that are from 9 to 14, but then you can get a girls of 13 years old, yeah. but this woman maybe was pregnant and she's having a baby, then we say maybe she was already exposed mm. with this virus. Mm. She can still benefit.
Okay.
She can still benefit because...
Every year, someone turns 18 okay. years yeah. old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved.
Four types of virus. He mentioned about 16 and 18, which yes, is mainly yes. for cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. So we have type 11 and type 6, which is the cause of those genital wart.
Mm.
So getting this vaccine, it's actually the best vaccine compared maybe to other vaccine, like we have another vaccine called Cervarix.
Okay.
The one that Namibia is going to have is Gardasil. So it have extra advantage of protecting from genital wart, because it cover four virus,
mm-hmm.
HPV virus. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. And sorry for this next question. It's similar to that one. But for a patient or for a mother who has the genital warts and is actually pregnant, how do they prevent that transmission to the baby?
Okay. With the genital wart, it actually doesn't have any effect with the newborn baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the mother can give birth without any complication and mm-hmm. can get treated afterwards. So okay. it doesn't have any effect with the newborn baby with the genital wart.
Noted.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what are the main, Mr. Chapumba, what are the main goals of the National Cervical Cancer Control Program that you currently, the ministry is currently rolling out?
Thank you for that question again.
Mm-hmm.
The main goal of the ministry is, through the cancer control program
mm-hmm.
is to reduce the incident of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about the path to elimination. We want to eliminate cervical cancer
mm-hmm.
as a public health problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with these goals, is number one is to vaccinate at least 90% of the girls
mm-hmm.
by the time they reach 15 years of age, so that they are protected. If you
yeah.
vaccinate them, then you are assured they are protected from the risk of cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to screen women to find if they have some already maybe cancer, I mean,
cervical
cancer lesions.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, we are talking about the age of 35 to and above.
Mm-hmm.
So you screen them so that if they have some lesions, then they can be attended to.
Mm-hmm.
So the other goals is to make sure that now, once these women are screened and they are found to have some precancerous cells, then they will get also the treatment that is available, intervention that are available.
Mm.
So the whole idea is just to make sure that we bring the cancer problem to a manageable situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So the aim of the program is sort of simultaneous to vaccinate the children from 9 to 14,
yes.
and as well as to screen those in the risk zone of 35 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then to also now to treat those that are found to have maybe a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We have intervention that are available.
Mm-hmm.
The chemotherapy is available at the big hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Radiotherapy.
Yeah.
Also.
How long is this program intended to last?
Yeah, The program is ongoing, mm-hmm. But now for the specifically for the vaccine, we haven't started yet in the state facility. That's why we are here to tell the nation that we are about to start.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time that the Minister of Health is introducing the human papillomavirus vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But the vaccine has already been in the country, but in private sectors.
Okay.
So now with the introduction in state facility, we are starting early August, and then it will run for 2 weeks as a campaign,
mm-hmm.
and after the campaign, the vaccine will become part of the routine
mm-hmm.
immunization mm-hmm. schedule in the country in all our public care facilities.
Okay. Also, the campaign will be sort of like in every town, city, village. Or how exactly?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be, because remember this age group that we are targeting, mm-hmm. the 9 to 14 years, close to 100% of them, they are in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll visit the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll also, those that cannot be attended at the school, especially those that are maybe out of school,
mm-hmm.
although they are not a lot, they will then be attended at the health facility.
Mm-hmm.
We will also have some mobile team that will go deep in remote areas where there are no schools, just to look for any other girl in that category.
And make sure that nobody misses out.
Yes.
Okay. Is this something that is going to require parental consent, or the rollout is automatically for every school-going child?
It is. We will not call that a consent. We call it a permission.
Okay.
Yeah. You see, it's an intervention, mm-hmm. although we are saying it's not something that is require actually a consent. That's why I say it's not a consent. It's just permission.
Mm-hmm.
Permission from the parent to say, no, vaccinate my girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we... So there will be already in the system, in the Ministry of Education, they're already having those permission that they give to parents
mm-hmm.
to give their
signature.
Go ahead, yes.
Okay.
So it will still be the same.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So for those parents who are actually not forth about it, they will not insist?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Ms. Musa, what message would you want to give to the young girls themselves and to the parents in terms of cervical cancer and in terms also of this program that you're rolling out?
All right. I'm actually glad that vaccine has finally come in the country, because previously we have been telling our community who are already willing to take the vaccine that unfortunately this vaccine is only available in the private and some cannot afford. So this is the time that we have been waiting for so many years,
mm-hmm.
and now we have the vaccine in the country. So I will tell all the parents there, please bring your girls, and the girls, please get vaccinated so that you make the right decision. You protect yourself from getting cervical cancer in future.
Mm.
And the parents, please let the children, the girls, come for vaccination, please. Come through, let your children understand in case they don't understand, and your parents give permission for them to take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really the time now, because I'm really happy that now it's in the government, because
mm-hmm.
previously it was not there. So this is the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting. And for you, Mr. Shapumba, what message would you give to the fathers out there? I mean, it's not just the responsibility of the mothers, but yeah.
Yes, fathers, they are parents just like mothers.
Yes.
Maybe there are a lot of them are not involved that much in the
women's stuff.
But,
yeah.
But we also call upon them to support in this case. They need to support. You see, it's information is power.
Mm-hmm.
If the father is having information about preventative measures, for her daughter, so they must at least just educate the mother as well, as
mm-hmm.
well as
mm-hmm.
the daughter,
mm-hmm.
and the boy as well.
Mm.
So we are saying this time we are not targeting the boys.
Yeah.
But it does not, we are not saying the boys cannot get the vaccine.
Yeah.
It's only that this time the priority of the ministry is the girls
mm-hmm.
because of the issue of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in future, when the resource permits, mm-hmm. We may also think about the boys.
Mm-hmm.
this vaccine is as expensive.
Mm.
That's why the people who had medical aid and who had the resources to buy it,
mm-hmm.
they were the only one who have access to it because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. A dose is over $1,000. Mm.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's very expensive. So okay. we are calling upon the nation, now that the ministry have made a wise decision to have a vaccine, please let's use this opportunity to have our girls vaccinated and therefore protected from the cervical cancer.
Okay. And lastly, are the parents or girls, young girls, asked to pay any amount as they are going to receive the vaccine? Because I think you didn't make that clear.
Yes. For the state, remember, for the state, our service is for free.
Mm-hmm.
We give it for free, especially the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's now an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are having medical aid can still go to private as mm-hmm. usual because yeah. they can afford. But at the state facility, what we are going to administer at school, you don't pay a single cent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So they should grab the opportunity while it's still available. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Shapumba, for making time for us right here on the Reader. Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Musa Youssef, for making time for us right here on the Reader Analysis.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right. Good morning if you're just joining us and welcome back. And so welcome. And I hope you have been tuned in for that that important segment. It will be continuing, so make sure that you always actually tune in for that program, wherever that program will be. Now, so few things maybe from that. One thing that I picked up from that is that the HPV is spread through intimate genital skin contact. There is no cure for HPV itself, but the vaccine actually can protect against the most common higher risk types that causes cancer, and also the low risk types that also causes the genital warts. So, yeah, and the vaccines are available in the country now, and girls, as the guests have indicated, please, and the mothers and the fathers, encourage your young ones and to go for those. All right. So, yes, and we're going to have some commercial break, but you're still there for 2 minutes. If you're really good, you can say something in 1 minute or so. You're most welcome to come through, but no, not at all. None, not a chance. All right. So at 9 o'clock, so we will have an interview as well, with the GIPF, representative on the loan scheme. So stay tuned and we definitely will be back.
Omudia with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yais, Yikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, what is a mini? Ana Gishifa, Yanamibia, Ombidom, Banawa, Orangica. Saitanina, Omeguro, Nida, Ditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo, Igele FM Media House. Gwe 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara Omkashifareki, Wimopo, Yomo, Programa, Detu. Moambo, Dengira Selma, onora hetatu imwe datu datu heari hamano tano oniari Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The International University of Management, IUM, is excited to announce that applications for the 2026 academic year are now open. Explore a wide range of qualifications across our dynamic faculties and school. Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, Faculty of Strategic Management and Business Administration, School of Primary Education, School of Secondary and Postgraduate Education, Postgraduate Studies, and the Graduate School of Business. Whether you are in Ventuk, Kurankuru, Enana, Ongudiva, or Walvis Bay, your future starts at IUM. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. Go ahead, make the right choice, and step into your future with IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. If you're just joining us, welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we dig into stories that matter to you. So today, we have got a special guest, Mr. Edwin Chiramba, the GIPF General Manager of Marketing and Stakeholder Engagement. So we're here to talk about the new pension-backed home loan scheme that has been stirring up a lot of conversation. So some see it as a lifeline for civil servants dreaming of owning a home, while others, like the teachers' union, are waving red flags, calling it just another loan that might leave workers strapped. So let's dive in this and unpack this with Mr. Chiramba. So good morning, Mr. Chiramba, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mike, and I'm so really, really excited to be visiting this morning over coffee with the Eagle FM listeners.
That's great. So can you start by explaining why the government decided to introduce the pension-backed home loan scheme now? And what is the biggest picture? And when you look at the bigger picture here of Namibia's housing situation, how does this scheme fit into that?
All right, thank you. And I would really try to be very systematic and very, very, very down to earth with the answers I give.
Exactly.
Because that we want everybody to really take this in.
Yeah.
Any home loan that a pension fund gives is as per the law.
Yeah.
The Pension Fund Act 24 or 56. So basically this home loan is allowable under the Act. For many, and it applies to every pension fund,
yeah,
and not only the GIPF. I mean, definitely we are the biggest, we are the largest, and everything we do tend to attract a little bit more attention, but that is besides the point.
Yeah.
The point is, when you look at it, Mike, I even worked for the University of Namibia for many years.
Mm.
And there, as early as I joined in 2001, the pension back home loan was already passed part of the pension offering.
Yeah.
So there are so many employers right now in Namibia who have already taken care of this particular provision of the Act.
Yeah.
What the Act says, any pension fund, any employer may grant a pension back home loan, their rules permitting.
Hmm.
And for us at the GIPF, our rules were not permissive of that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why? Because unlike many pension funds, ours is the only what we call a defined benefit fund, meaning our benefits are already guaranteed and they are known.
Yeah.
The other people, including yourself, who are maybe part of a private pension fund, you are what is called a defined contribution fund, meaning basically what you have in the kitty is what you save.
Yeah.
And plus what the employer says. And at the end of the day, all market forces, all investments being equal, you get what you have in the kitty.
Yeah.
But for us at the GIPF, we know by the time you join the civil service, you are maybe 25. By the time you turn 60, this is the benefits that are promised, and you are guaranteed to get those.
Yeah.
Even if fund does not do well, your employer will step in, the government will step in, and you will get your pension.
Mm.
So it was not easy for us to say, now because these rules are already there,
yeah,
you can now start and borrow against a saving you have to build a house.
Mm.
So we went through a very rigorous process of getting our rules amended.
Yeah.
The rules were amended. They were approved by our board. They were approved by the government. They were then eventually approved by NAMFISA, which is our regulator in our space. And then that paved the way for the rule change.
Mm-hmm.
That has now been accepted. And then we had to go the extra mile. For us, the biggest thing was to say, but now at what interest rate will the members be repaying back the capital they borrow? Because mind you, the members are borrowing from their own pension.
Yeah.
So, and everybody is asking, but why do I have to pay back? You are paying back because you have borrowed the capital from yourself, and we want to restore you to that original position you were in, had you not borrowed at the time you turned 60.
Mm.
And in any pension fund, even in the country, you pay a variable interest at the time that is there. The law says so. And as an administrator or any other pension administrator, we only follow what the law says. So that's why there is an interest to be paid. And it's going to be paid back to yourself because it's going to go back into your kitty.
Yeah.
It is going to make sure that by the time you retire, you are at the same time to be able to get that one set lump sum, which is tax-free.
Okay.
And by that time, you already have a house over your roof, a roof over your head. So
yeah,
you don't have to worry about, now I got my one set, and now I need to go and buy a house or pay off a house. You have already done so while you are working for the remaining of your working career.
Yeah.
And that is basically the reason why we are introducing this scheme.
Okay. And why now, though? Because there are the same scheme from the banking sector. So why are you introducing now? So bigger picture here for maybe for Namibia's housing situation or why are you introducing it now?
Definitely there is a bigger picture and there is a bigger overriding reason.
Yeah.
The fund already in 2011, we also introduced what we call a mortgage-backed home loan scheme.
Yeah.
Which we were doing through First Capital. Which we are currently still doing through First Capital. And to that scheme, we gave about 1.5 billion Namibian dollars for our members to be able to access that money, to be able to buy a house or renovate a house, just as they would do through any commercial bank.
Yeah.
But this one we introduced because we said this is only unique to the GIPF members. So we have been a player already in this, on this field. We are not doing it for the first time.
Okay.
What is different with this one, Mike, is the fact that unlike any mortgage bond or any mortgage-backed scheme where your house becomes the guarantee, by any commercial bank or any entity out there. And should you default, they just take the house and sell it, give you your difference. They take their money. With a pension back home loan, your pension, a portion of your pension savings act as the guarantee.
Yeah.
And here is the cherry on the cake. With this scheme, you are able to build this in an unproclaimed area. No commercial bank will fund you
exactly.
to build a house in a in an unproclaimed or rural area.
Yeah.
And for us, earlier you also asked a question about, have we done an assessment of the housing situation? The housing situation in Namibia, I think, is very known to every Namibian.
Mm.
Should we have not had a housing crisis, we would not have the Aspelans, we would not have the Siemendelans, we would not have the Ombilis and all of this. And you will actually be surprised to know how many of our members live in these areas. In a study that was, in statistics that were provided as far as 2019, out of 100,000 civil servants, close to 70% of them are not taking part in the government housing subsidy that currently is underway.
Mm.
And as we know, the Namibian government is probably one of the governments in all of sub-Saharan Africa that has such a good housing subsidy scheme.
Yeah.
But still, the uptake on the average civil servant to have a house has been very minimal. And the reasons for that are many, and I do not have to go into them.
Yeah.
But we are hoping with this additional project, we are just going to alleviate that housing backlog and that housing crisis, where more of our members now will maybe opt to either build in an unproclaimed area, or they have an existing bond that they want to settle, or they want to buy an earth in town, or they just want to build a home that they could not afford before.
Yeah.
So these are some of the reasons.
Yeah. So the briefly also, it just walk us through the process the civil servant would go through to get one of these loans.
Definitely, the civil servant will have to know what they qualify for under the pension back home loan scheme.
Yeah.
It's up to 1/3 of their savings, which is that part. When they look at their benefit statement of the GIPF, it has two columns.
Yeah.
The one is your cash benefit. Basically, that is just your own contribution. And then there is another line that says withdrawal or transfer benefit, which is a bigger amount because this not only has your cash benefit, but it also entails your employer contribution. And you may borrow up to 1/3 of that. Now, let me say somebody who has been working for 30 plus years and they have 3.8 million as a withdrawal or transfer benefit. Up to 1/3 means they can borrow up to 1 million plus. So that is the first thing any active member will have to do is today go onto the GIPF website, self-register on our self-serving portal, so that you are able to view and print your benefit statement at any time you want. If you are not able to do so, you can send an email to GIPF, info@GIPF, and that will be sent to you.
Hmm.
If you have a nearest GIPF close to you, and we have 14 regional offices, so we are in every region, you can go to that regional office and just print your benefit statement, and then that will be the first step for you to know where you are with regards to what you qualify for.
Yeah.
Once we roll out, once we say and we come to the public, to the media and say, now the GIPF pension back home loan is ready to go, the first step every active member will start at their respective human resources offices of their employers.
Yeah.
This is where the application process will start. And they will be told exactly, go back to your office, bring all these documents. Just as you will go for any loan, you do have to prove what is your identity. Are you married? Are you single? You know, all the certified documents that are always required, that has to then be appended to your application form.
Yeah.
And then this will be processed by one of the two administrators, because every active member will choose which one they will want to work with anyway.
Yeah,
and then they will go for an affordability testing, because in terms of the law, and another law is our labor law, which says, you know, you may not really deduct from a member's or an employee's salary up until they have nothing to take home.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and that is a key consideration because we also have to be compliant with that. So affordability in this sense will also look at issues of how does your normal payslip look like? I mean, you know, you qualify for this amount, but if you take up to a maximum, will you be able to afford, or can you take only up to a certain percentage? And this is some of the things that we'll look at. But definitely where, in normal circumstances, where you will be required to say we are looking at your ITC, we don't look at things like that. Or where you will be required now to go for a health test.
Mr. Chiramba, we have a quick commercial, and we'll be just back for now. Yeah.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 5th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
All right, welcome back. So, Mr. Chiramba, were there a point you wanted to finish on what you were saying so that we got to the next question? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we were talking about the application process.
Yeah.
And where that will have you start off and the whole thing of you being able to for us also to do some type of an affordability testing so that we are we remain responsible and we also remain legally compliant as to so that we just don't give you up to the maximum and now you are not able to take anything home for bread and butter at home. So that is the one. But we are just taking out the unnecessary requirements that are normally there of either apparently you have now a small clothing account with a shop I cannot mention and it's $50 that you have not paid. Now you cannot afford to do this thing. Yeah. So some of those unnecessary requirements we are definitely not looking at.
Yeah.
But we just want to make sure that there is a good uptake on the product for our members.
Okay. Now, what happens if someone can repay their loans? Does the GIPF step in, or what does that mean now for their pension?
We definitely want to make sure that we do not have to deal with that hurdle.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that? One other thing that we now await that the Ministry of Finance will provide the respective employers is what is called a deduction code.
Mm.
The deduction code is currently what every employer will use in this term to be able to deduct whatever you have agreed to as repayment against your salary.
Yeah.
So that it is just deducted before the money comes to your account at your respective commercial bank to go towards paying your home loan. So that is one way of ensuring that there is really no unnecessary defaulting on this particular product. So that will be part of the offering, and that will be available to every single participating employer because some of our employers, our active members are also members in parastatal or regional councils. So having a deduction code already in place is one way to make sure that we all remain compliant.
Yeah. Well, they're also descending voices. I read through the papers that the teachers unions are calling it just another bank product. What is your take on their concerns?
I do not want to ruffle any feathers with responding to a question like that one.
Yeah.
But the reality is one will have to have an account for who are the members of the GIPF.
Mm.
The members of the GIPF are primarily 90-some+% civil servants.
Yeah.
And they are either in the public sector proper by being just civil servants or members of the armed forces, inclusive of our police, of our army and all the armed forces.
Mm.
And then a bigger other part will be other people in our health professions, our nurses, and then the teachers.
Yeah.
So these two entities are represented because they have a recognition agreement with government through the NAPU, the Public Workers Union, and through NANTU, the National Teachers Union.
Yeah.
These are the people who speak for our members. These are also the two entities that sits at the table of the board of trustees of the GIPF where these decisions were taken. These are also the very unions that were very instrumental in negotiating a very favorable rate in terms of an interest rate with government through the Ministry of Finance that has now been gazetted and that will actually now benefit everybody who is having a pension back home loan scheme and not the GIPF member.
Mm.
So we are confident that there have been broader consultations with our unions. We are also very confident that our unions are supportive of this desire of their members to access a portion of their pension savings for something like a home loan. So I can only comment as to the consultative processes we have had, as to how our unions, we deal with our on board, and to the rest, I really have no other comment.
Okay. Okay. What is also the idea for workers actually to have direct access to their pension saving for investment, not just loans? Is that something the GIPF would ever consider?
You see, the consideration is not really for the GIPF to make.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we want to make clear. The GIPF is merely an administrator.
Mm.
And we only administer this pension fund prudently and responsibly within the four confines of the law.
Yeah.
The Pension Fund Act 24 of 56 does not provide for any other reason for a home loan from one's pension other than for a home loan.
Yeah.
And laws are not cast in stone. Laws can be amended at any point. And that's why we say our members, should they desire to have that outside the four corners of this law, then they just have to do the right thing and make sure they lobby our lawmakers for a law amendment so that that can be a consideration. But for where we are right now, we are only administering within the confines of the law, and that it provides for a housing loan, and that's what we can do.
Yeah. So, well, pensions are safety net. So hopefully this is not my question. It's just a presumption that, you know, these are safety net. What is your plan if things goes wrong?
And that's why it has taken us actually this long to implement this project.
Mm.
We had to make sure that due diligently everything is across board for us to make sure that this does not, disadvantage a pensioner once they turn 60. And that's why the law is clear. You have to pay back against a variable interest rate.
Yeah.
That's why we have to make sure they have to be a certain deduction code. And that's why you can only access up to a third. I mean, there are pension funds in the country where that threshold is even bigger.
Yeah.
But what we do, and maybe that's also one thing I have not mentioned prior, what we do, we have actuaries. We do an actuarial evaluation of the fund, wellness every 3 years.
Mm.
And it's a statutory evaluation that says, are we able to meet the demands of our benefits maybe in 70 to 80 years that are still coming?
Yeah.
So for us to introduce this pension back home loan to come to a percentage of one third, it is based on actuarial evaluations and determinations. And then we were advised by our actuaries, should you pack it at this percentage, the fund will still be able to meet its benefits, and it will still be able to have to maintain its asset base where its asset currently now outweighs its liabilities, meaning it is in a healthy state.
Yeah.
And that is why we are saying we are doing everything possible to make sure that the member is restored to that original position they were in had they not taken the loan. And come that day, they turn 60, they will get their one-third tax lump sum tax free, and then they can continue to benefit from the two-thirds that's remaining for life. And the GIPF is the only pension fund that actually guarantees you an income until the day you die. Mm-hmm. You retire at 60, and mind you, we still have pensioners who are 100 plus. And there is no way any person would have worked for maybe 30 years and then have saved more to be able to be paid for another 40.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of how we invest, our investment philosophy, and what we have guaranteed that we are able to do some of these things. And we are a public national fund, and for that we have a greater mandate, and it's that mandate that we make sure we enforce to the letter.
Yeah. So I believe there are two entities chosen to administer the scheme. So what criteria were actually used to select them?
The criteria we used, it was actually a very open process.
Mm.
It was a highly competitive process. We extended a request for proposals to all commercial bank entities and also to those in the sector that we know are in the private industry, but whom we know are players in the pension back home loan. And there was quite a great interest of those who participated and who responded positively to the request for these proposals. So, and that went through a normal process of being assessed, and then it went to the board, and the board then, on various factors, chose these two administrators to be the inaugural administrators for the pilot phase, for which we have availed about 900 million.
Yeah. So, lastly, Mr. Chiramba, why should civil servant actually trust this scheme and consider applying for a loan?
What we are doing is something, you know, the fund is also one of few funds that do active member engagement intensively and actively throughout the whole country.
Mm.
There is no part of this country that I have not gone to in the last 6 years now I've been working for the fund. Meaning we are as a fund in touch with our members.
Yeah.
So we definitely know this is a product they want. But and this is a product they have been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing is not something that we just are doing because we feel we should do it. We are also responding to a need.
Mm-hmm.
We know the housing crisis in the country. We are responding to that. And you should also appreciate, Mike, that the fund under its unlisted investment portfolio have also done much more for housing in this country than any other pension fund.
Yeah.
We have so far built over 7,800 houses. We have serviced many urban in many towns and cities in the country.
Yeah.
Our clear product is something like the Osona village between Windhoek and Okahanja.
Mm.
This is a product of the GIPF. And who are the people in those houses? It's our civil servants, it's our army, it's our police. And we continue to add on to the housing numbers at Osona and elsewhere in the country where you go, where we have put in a lot of money into housing. So this is yet just another product that we are trying to roll out to make sure that Namibians have a comfortable house that they can call home.
Mr. Chiramba, any last words maybe that I haven't asked you or something that I haven't asked that you deem to be very, very important for our listeners to know?
No, I think I can say is I'm glad I've had this opportunity to be given a moment to engage.
Yeah.
The engagements will continue. Like, for instance, today we are engaging our active members at Wolfies Bay.
So
any listener who's in this area can come through at 5:30 at the Blue Whale Hotel. And tomorrow we are at the Tamaristia Town Hall in Swakopmund, 5:30 as well. So where we continue to have this conversation with our members. And definitely we only now await the official signing of a memorandum of agreement between ourselves and the Office of the Prime Minister, and after which we will give ourselves 3 months to make sure we have done all the logistical processes in place to roll out the pension back home loan. So our members should just remain calm, patient. When we are ready, we will definitely say, it's all systems go.
So, Mr. Chiramba, thank you very much. And thank you for making time actually to come and talk to our listeners about, you know, because there has been people who come in through here asking us to get someone to explain and give insight really of what is this new pension-backed home loan scheme is all about. And thank you for making time to talk to us.
You are most welcome, and the pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
All right. That was Mr. Chiramba, the general manager, from GIPF, general manager of marketing and stakeholder engagement from GIPF. yes, you have asked that we bring someone to give us an idea. What is this new pension-backed home loan scheme all about? So unfortunately, we don't have time anymore to engage you. If you wanted to come in through and probably react to all our discussions. So we were very glad to just provide you information, and hopefully it helped you sitting at home or at work and you didn't have this information. So hopefully that has helped you to understand what it's all about and start the thinking of getting a home, getting a house, a home of your own. So our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9, and wish you when it comes to this time, we say goodbye, but it's not forever, because tomorrow I ask you, let me quickly, just this person, I will ask for 2 minutes from, Helmut, and then we get back.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking.
I know you do not have time. Good morning, Mike.
No, you come to an end already. Just 1 minute. Quick, yeah. 1 minute.
Yeah, so thank you very much for bringing Mr. Chiramba there.
Yeah.
And we really need to support that. I don't know how it will work. I have not really heard that. Maybe I missed that point in the rural area where people also want to build their dwellings.
Yeah, he said this one is actually allowing that, yeah.
Mm. So it's allowing that.
Yeah. Mm.
And I love this initiative. Thank you very much. I know these things is also including, I heard there was a time swap mention in their document that yes, even those people who are working with the Shoprite and things like that can also be subsidized. Maybe we just need to consensitize their employers so that they buy in there so that the people can have housing. And we now want those IT, stands, so that they can start now supplying this rural electrification in terms of solar panel installation. Let's continue on that topic tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yes. Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. That's bring us to the end. And, we cross over to the capital and where Helmut is waiting. And I guarantee you, you will have a smile on your face. It's a comedy show coming up, Mind the Gap with Helmut. So from me, Mike, Oshavedi, it's a goodbye for now, but I will see you tomorrow again on the same, station here on Eagle FM. So goodbye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.